Good afternoon. We're really proud to tell you about our community-based intervention tool that came from a collaboration of wonderful members of diverse organizations within our community. These organizations made up of a funder, which I represent, also grantee organizations, as well as technical assistance providers. Okay, so there's our question. So my name is Sterling Fulton Smith. I am a program associate formerly from the North Carolina Health and Wellness Trust Fund. I am now at the Tobacco Prevention and Control Branch in North Carolina. My partner and also colleague, Pam Diggs, is the Youth Tobacco Use Prevention Program Coordinator from Orange County, North Carolina. So I'm going to kind of quickly go through the background because I want to get you into the meat of the presentation, which I think you'll thoroughly enjoy. So tobacco use amongst diverse populations. Just from this slide, just wanted to point out that as students age, tobacco use also increases, so it becomes more frequent. And as you can see, the age of initiation just differs by race, also by ethnicity and socioeconomic class. Okay, and so we recognized, and I'm going to skip this slide just for time, we recognized as a funding organization that this was a problem. And our grantees would come to us and say, hey, you know, we understand this and we know that you want us to go out and reach all these diverse organizations, but we don't know how to do it. Well, also as a funder, I just want to point out that we started funding the organization, started funding this initiative, as well as started managing this initiative in the fall of 2010. But unfortunately, by the summer of 2011, the North Carolina General Assembly abolished, and that was the language that they used, the North Carolina Health and Wellness Trust Fund Commission. The funds were transferred over to the North Carolina Division of Public Health, to the Tobacco Prevention and Control Branch to continue the work. And we're really glad about that. We have the funds for about a year. But what we wanted to do was to make sure that you knew about these important resources and that you work and share them within your community. So what we decided to do was, like I was saying, you know, grantees were like, I don't know what to do. And North Carolina is a very diverse state, with about a third of the population coming from our priority population members. So we decided to say, okay, well, what we can do is to provide you tools and training that you could work out within your communities, and that also your youth can use as they go out and they educate members within their communities. So kind of how did all this start? Well, a group of us were out to dinner at the Macaroni Grill. And, yeah. And we, you know, in the Macaroni Grill, how they have the paper butcher cloth, tablecloth. Well, we were sitting around on the tablecloth, and with a purple crayon, Curry Bird, who's sitting out in the audience, came up with this wonderful idea of using the Heritage Month as something that we could address tobacco use and prevention within communities. So one of the things that we all agreed about was that a for us, by us approach would possibly be the best of all worlds. We didn't want to come up with something that as a funding organization, you know, hey, you got to go out and you have to do this. What we wanted was something that came up from the grantees to say, this is something that has our input, that has our stamp of approval. This is something that we developed. So here's what we came up with, and we're really proud about it. It is the Heritage Month Toolkit. It's an internet-based tool that provides grantees with the materials that they need when planning and implementing their culturally tailored tobacco control activities within their community. The toolkit was designed to be tailored for each population and then could be further tailored by that community to best meet their needs. And it's very important to keep in mind that this is a working document. It's intended to be updated by the communities and to expand over time. And just as you can see here, these are the Heritage Months. Those months that did not have a particular group assigned to them, we took our North Carolina population and we selected activities or selected topics that we thought that would be important to fit us, such as tobacco growing communities. Okay, so once a month is selected, the user sees the month with a brief description of that month. And what's really important is you see the young lady with the pink shoes. Well, we're really proud that we got everybody involved in this. That young lady is an actual member from one of our true groups, or Tobacco Reality Unfiltered youth groups. So our grantees got their youth involved to give us pictures and to kind of look at this tool. And Pam will talk more about that. So here we go. Here's a little closer of a slide to show you all the things that are in each month. Okay, so let's start off with the fact sheets. The fact sheets are from a series called Be in the Know, and they expand a variety of tobacco topics. This one just happens to be on social smoking. But what's really neat about these fact sheets is they're not only, this is just the front side of the fact sheet, there's also a back side. And taken together, the fact sheet can be used either from the front side as a sheet, or as a brochure, or as a table tent. So they're multifaceted in their design. Each PowerPoint presentation has notes. And what we wanted was that the actual presentation itself, we wanted it to be very simple. We wanted it to have, like I said, simple language, using health literacy principles, and to also have lots of pictures. And then we wanted this to be a tool that could be used by a variety of people. So we included notes. And our notes section, which has extensive information about each slide. That notes section is not to be read, you know, verbatim, but just as a tool for whoever is using this, is something to go by. Also, we wanted to make sure, because with presentations, you know, you just don't want a dry presentation with somebody just talking to you. You know, we wanted to make sure that there were activities that were also with the present with each month. So we've got an activity section that's there, that's hands-on activities that's been tailored to youth, but also adults can use them. We also have our print media activities. And with this, each print media has our Quitline logo on it. It also has the Health and Wellness Trust Fund logo. And we included a suggested guide for grantees to use for each month. And also, the print media could be used not just as an ad to be placed within the community, but also could be used as a flyer, or could be used as something that if someone wanted to hang up in a doctor's office, they could use that. So just as a variety of different ways of using the material. Also what's important to point out is that some of the material is in different languages, so not just English, but also Spanish, Mandarin, we've got Hmong, Vietnamese, so we tried to be really inclusive. Each month also has heritage proclamations within it, has information from a variety of different tobacco prevention and control networks. And so just wanted to make sure that you knew that we pulled in information from the American Legacy Foundation, from the campaign from Tobacco Free Kids, as well as the leading tobacco control networks such as the Asian Pacific Partners for Empowerment, Advocacy and Leadership, NAPTIN, the National LGBT Tobacco Prevention Network, the National Tribal Tobacco Prevention Network. So I'd like to turn it over to Pam, who can talk about the grantee experience using the toolkit.
Okay, so now I'm going to talk about how communities can use this toolkit. I've had the opportunity to use it in Orange County, which is a local county. If you've ever heard of the Tar Heels, that's where we are, right near the university. But we've had a chance to use it in our youth meetings with the youth. It's really a great non-threatening tool to bring in diverse speakers or expose youth to different cultures. And the statistics found within this toolkit can be a great way to break the ice and start conversations. And people can tailor their presentations however they see fit. So if they're talking to specifically a group of African-American women, they can pull information from the Women's History Month and from the African-American History Month and create their own presentation. It's also a great way to do outreach to other communities that maybe are not represented in your groups, and also within your groups, to highlight the different ways that tobacco is used among different cultures. In Orange County, we have a very diverse population, and so I work with youth from all different ethnicities and races, and this has been a great way for youth within our group to see how their race is highlighted in each month, and for them to learn more about different cultures within our group. is a great way to build relationships and open the door to working with other coalitions and groups. And here, I have to brag a little bit. These are some of the young men from one of my true groups in Orange County in Chapel Hill. And we've also used it as a recruitment tool to recruit other youth into the group. Again, like I said, it's great for coalition building, to support activities. If you need to reach out to another group that's not representative, it can help to do that. And it's a great way to keep youth engaged. A lot of times when you work with youth for a long time, you really need to come up with new, innovative ideas. And that really helps to do, this toolkit really helps us to do that. So what did the youth think about the toolkit? Well, of course, the first thing they loved was that their pictures were in it. And it's real youth from North Carolina who are working in the Tobacco Reality Unfiltered movement. And so they really appreciated seeing themselves instead of stock photos in a toolkit that didn't represent them. They also really loved the online availability. We know that kids live and breathe online now. So this was nice that it's something that we could use in our meetings or they could go to pull information. And they liked the fact that various cultures were highlighted. It pretty much covers any of the groups that are represented in North Carolina, and they see themselves and their cultures within it. So some specific activities that we did, I went to an alternative school last fall and did an activity called Balancing the Broomstick that's found within in the toolkit that really gets kids to think about how something as small as tobacco use or as large as tobacco use really in the end can really affect their whole lives. And the way that I was able to tailor the presentation by telling them, which was a primarily African-American school, and we know that in a lot of alternative schools you have a higher concentration of underprivileged youth. When I told them about the messages about how menthol cigarettes have been historically targeted to African-Americans and how little cigars are just as dangerous as cigarettes, which are primarily targeted toward African-Americans, the message really resonated even more with them than if I was to do a general presentation that I do at a lot of health classrooms in our schools. And they really were able to take that message, I think, even more to heart because it was tailored for them. And as a result, we also were able to work with these groups more in later activities like Kick Butt Day. So we got a larger cross-section of youth involved in some of our true activities. These are some more testimonials from other grantees like myself from other parts of the state. So I'm in the central area of the state. But this first testimonial is from Nash County, it's in the eastern part of the state. And she was able to use the fact sheets in her true youth meetings to introduce her youth to other cultures. They were in the area where there's a lot of Native American tribes in eastern North Carolina. And for some of them, the first time they were really learning about the way Native Americans used tobacco historically and traditionally. And that was a great learning experience for them. And then in Yancey County, in the western part of our state, this grantee talked about how she would post fact sheets and materials on bulletin boards at schools, utilize the school media, and work with other groups that already existed within the schools that were focusing on culture, like Spanish clubs or cultural exchange clubs. So the grantees didn't really have to do anything new that they weren't already doing, but this allowed them to have some culturally tailored materials for the activities that they could do within their schools already. So how has this impacted our grantees? Before the toolkit was implemented, we saw that 236 activities were tailored for priority populations, and we get this from our evaluation reporting across the state. But we wanted to see more, and so like Sterling said, that's why we developed a toolkit that grantees can use. And we've seen in the last year, since this was implemented in October 2010, that we've seen an increase to 387 activities tailored for priority populations. And that represents a 40% increase in tailored activities for priority populations in just 1 year. So through the teamwork and innovation and evaluation and developing this tool with using grantees from the priority populations, we've really seen it have a big impact. And not only did we receive the toolkit online and on a CD, we got supporting materials. We received trainings from different organizations in the state that are leading experts on cultural diversity and cultural competency. We got a book, which I would highly recommend this if you work with teens and you want to talk to them about diversity and do activities on diversity. This one, Make a World of Difference, is a great tool. Another great tool that we all received as grantees was the Honoring Differences cards. And we've been able to use these for icebreakers in our meetings. And the youth just really, really love learning about different cultures and seeing how they're similar as well as different. So they're not really scared to talk about things like diversity sometimes when we feel like it's outside of our comfort zone. It's something that comes natural to them. And these are great tools to get the conversation started. So for the future of the toolkit, we hope to have more training for our grantees to use it. We want to monitor the use, and we want to give suggestions where those are needed for those who need additional support in using it and opening up conversations and doing activities. We want to also expand it to other audiences. Right now, it's mainly teen-focused with some of the activities and the pictures, but we do have college grantees as well and want to expand it to young adult age. And in conclusion, we hope that you've been able to see that the Heritage Toolkit provides a wealth of tailored resources for anyone who wants to use it. It's easy to use, accessible, and there's no need to reinvent the wheel. And more of our grantees in North Carolina are tailoring their activities for priority populations. So here's the link. You also should have received the CD in a bag, and in the spirit of Halloween, you even got some candy in the bag with it. And we hope that you would take it back to your offices and to your hometowns, use it, tailor it as you see fit, and please feel free to contact us if you have any questions. Thank you.
Also on that True Toolkit, you'll find we've got a whole bunch of fact sheets that cover a variety of different topics. So there's things that might not be within the Heritage Toolkit. It might be, you know, you can find that within the True Toolkit as well. There's certain things on the toolkit that are PDFs that are not ours. Those things are from different organizations, and you'll be able to tell. Those things that are ours are modifiable. You can modify those how you see fit. If you want to contact me, if I've got the PowerPoint presentations, I will be more than happy to send them to you. We just really want to make sure that this information lives and goes on. So, like I said, if it's anything in here that I can help you with or can help you within your community so that you can modify it to fit your needs, I'd urge you to, you know, contact me. Be more than glad to do that. And so there will be no copyright issues with some of that. Also, even with some of the pictures that are in the toolkit, with the youth images, I would recommend that you get your own images. But there are some slide images that I'm a photographer also, so I took some of those pictures. You could have those as well. The other ones are just stock photos from Microsoft. So.
Thanks.
Oh, okay. I could talk a little bit about our evaluation. Our evaluation is actually done through the North Carolina Tobacco Prevention Education Program, which is TPEP, which is run out of the UNC, UNC Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And we grantees enter into a system on a monthly basis. It's called TEAMS, Tobacco Evaluation and Management System. And from there, there's a variety of different indicators in which they select that talks about their activities, their media placement, coalitions that they've sat on, coalitions that they've worked to develop. And we pull our evaluation indicators from that. That's how that's done. If you want more information on that again, feel free to contact me. One of the authors who worked with us on this, her name is Kirsten Ingraham. She's available if you want to talk with her about evaluation. We'll be more than happy to put you in contact. Did that help answer your question? Mm-hmm.